flower farmers, are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you, farmerstoflorists.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability. You can connect with florists, you can get your name out there, you get listed in the directory, and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need, and they're not going to just try to sell you 5 gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So, no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes. Get signed up. We are still offering a special if it is available. The first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived, so you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, flower friends. Welcome back to the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. And if you are listening to this with some AirPods in while you're planting plugs, driving to your off-the-farm job, or doing a school drop-off with an open cup of coffee in your hand, like an open mug club, then you are my people. So let's be real here. I want to start with a confession that it's not a confession, but you guys know that flower farming is my main job. However, I have other jobs. But like my revenue streams as an individual, I still work one day a week from home doing video visits as a nurse practitioner. But then I have a revenue stream of this podcast. We have paid ads occasionally within the actual podcast. We have sponsors for the blog on the website. And then, of course, the courses and the teaching and the coaching. Whenever I say like my flower farm income or my flower farm revenue or whatever, that's completely separate from any of this stuff. Like I don't count the podcast or, and then of course I'm getting paid as a speaker now. So I'm getting probably once a month a paid speaking gig, either virtually or in person somewhere. And then I'm an author. And so I have book sales. And so I do have a lot of streams of revenue, but I still say flower farming is my full-time job and everything else is just kind of a side gig, if that makes sense. It all works together. And then I guarantee my expenses for the flower farm are a lot higher than they would need to be if I wasn't doing all of that other stuff, but it fuels my passion and it's happy. But what's really nice is everything that I do is quite flexible. So I do have the ability to plant and get my field done and harvest and fall cleanup. The biggest thing is spring and fall are so much less stressful now that I can do it during the prime time. But for a long time, I worked my day job and it was hard. And so I'm bringing it back to when I did that and did not have the flexibility of my schedule now when I had a very rigid, like I have to leave the farm at 7:15 to get to daycare on time. And I don't get home from like drop off until 5:30. So from 7:15 a.m. to 5:30, I just couldn't do anything. And so like you watch the weather, you have to shift things around, you pick away at those projects. But most of the time, like you just have to, you know, try to prep for the spring on your farm. And that's what we're going to talk about is when you don't have an unlimited schedule, when you don't, you know, and I share it to say like, okay, guys, like I've been there. And that is why I want to share, like, as you scale your business, like things do get easier. Like I said, if you invest in the equipment, Yeah, it's pain points saving up for them, but eventually it becomes more fun because it's easier when you have the tools you need to do it. Let's talk about flower farming when you don't have unlimited time. And I still don't have unlimited time. Of course not, but I have the flexibility of, okay, I'll pick tulips for a couple hours and I'll go do other work. Then I'll pick tulips again. Or, oh, hey, just now it was this really big heat wave and I have plugs ready to go in the ground, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait until the weather is a little more favorable in 5 days, and then I'm going to do these because I don't have this, risk. Whereas before, it's like, this is the day I have off. I took vacation today, or like I have Tuesdays off. Like, I need to plant the garden on Tuesday. And even though it's going to be hot the next few days, I don't really have a choice. I have to plant it on Tuesday because I can't do it Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or whatever it might be. So first of all, getting ready in the fall. And I realize this is all said and done, but take notes for what you should do this fall. All right, flower friends, we are going to take a quick break, and I'm going to talk about Foundations of Petaling Perishable Products, or PPP for short. This started as a course with cohorts, but now it's a full-on membership. So you pay once for lifetime access to all of the course modules, which cover everything from sales and marketing to goal setting, legal, accounting, efficiencies, scaling, and more. Basically, how to actually run your flower business like a business, and how I took my business from a $7,000 hobby to literally a $500,000 revenue enterprise. And it's the foundations and the framework and the principles that I built on, because if you scale things that are not working, you're just scaling your problems. And so once you join, you are in. So you get access to the, not only do you get the whole course, but you get access to the private Facebook group of 40 plus members that are taking flower farming extremely seriously, a monthly Zoom call for the group where you can ask questions, get support, or just listen in. And there we cover a lot of growing things, but I also will share, once a month I'll say, hey guys, this is something I just learned. I'm going to teach you about, the SMS texting marketing that I started doing with the husbands. And here's how I got them to sign up. And now they get a text a week before their anniversary or whatever it is. Or, hey guys, I'm going to show you the behind the scenes on my Mother's Day flowers and how I did that reservation system. And this is how you use Calendly on the back end. Like, once a month, I show something like that. And then, of course, everyone can ask like growing questions, whatever. You also get lifetime access of exclusive replays of our quarterly webinars. Those are the public webinars that we do for this podcast. So now everyone can join those live. You have to sign up. But the replay is only for the members. And that is because I pack those with behind the scenes strategy of my farm. So like, hey, this is how I grew my farm to this. And here's the behind the scenes of the revenue. And here's the expenses that it actually takes to get there. I'm not going to put those out on the public podcast anymore. If you sign up, if you watch them live, you can see it for free. But if you don't watch it live, then you can only get the recording if you're a Foundations of PPP member. Plus, Foundations of PPP people get discounts for any of our in-person workshops and future courses. So events like Flower Farmer Forum, Farmer Florist Bootcamp, all of those things. There are three payment options to fit your budget. So there's a one-time fee of $1,000. You can do $100 a month for 12 months. So you save if you do the one time, or there's a middle ground of 6 months. So if you are serious about growing and ready to stop reinventing the wheel, please join our group. There is a link in the episode notes where you can schedule a 15-minute phone call with me for free. Tell me about your dreams. Tell me about your goals. Tell me about your problems right now. And I will be honest, and probably a third of the people that I talk to, I'm like, I don't think this is for you. I don't think it's going to be helpful. I will be honest if I don't think that it's what you need, because I do want to, I take it seriously that someone's investing in themselves, and I equally want to be there to help them. And yeah, so if you are interested in joining Foundations of PPP, I invite you to schedule a 15-minute call with me. Sorry, that was a really long ad. Podcast producer Abby is going to be like, Liz, keep it to 90 seconds, but I can't because Foundations of PPP is so much. It's not 90 seconds. Anyway, back to the episode. So, last year, we cut everything with a brush mower. We bagged up everything with our lawnmower mulcher, the zinnias, the status, the snapdragons. No, not the sunflowers, not the dahlias, nothing that's like super stocky. But we were able to do all of that. But then we composted really heavy and mulched in the fall. So like we loaded it up with any leaves that we had, grass clippings, whatever. And because I'm trying to transition to like cover crops, no-till, whatever, but it's a progress. It's not an overnight thing. I'm really trying to like build nutrients back into my soil in natural ways. And honestly, when you till, you're just stirring up the weed seeds, right? So it's just trying to like get control of those weeds, but it's a slow, gradual process. So then this spring, we did till up about half of the rows with our 54-inch tiller attachment on our utility tractor. And then we laid down all of the drip lines on the bed. So if you follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum, I've done a reel on this before, but we have this spool because my husband like does electrical stuff. I don't even know what he does. He used to drill wells. Now he like fixes wells like for big like city municipals. So he's like a plumber and an electrician and a driller and a like he does all of that stuff. But anyway, he gets all these spools. And so we have the drip lines already cut in this like 60-foot lines. And that's what we use to like spread them out. So it keeps them neat and spacing is perfect. And it's just way easier than the spaghetti of a mess unrolling it from a tangled pile. So now I focus on things gradually, but I try to get the cool stuff in the ground by like April 20th. I'm going to be transitioning to this differently next year as we have our new high tunnel and as we have a space to readily sell to customers. But for now, it's like been working within the confines of what we have. But like snapdragons, stock, bupleurum, whatever. I didn't overthink it. We had a window, we took it. The dahlias, we dug those with trenches with the pallet forks on our skid steer. And so it was just like so much easier and it sped up the whole thing. And that was good. But the thing is, I want you to keep in mind that you can't control the weather, but you need to work around it. So high heat, high wind, heavy rain. It's really important to harden off those seedlings. But if you can avoid planting in those conditions, I really think that, yeah, they're going to get root bound in their trays. And yeah, they need to get in the ground. But I just think the beating that they're going to take from 80 some degree days, like if you can hold off a little bit, or if you see that it's going to be super hot this weekend, and it's Tuesday, try to get them in the ground Tuesday evening if you can, and then just give them that time to establish slightly before that heat wave comes. And so, you know, trying to plant really early in the morning or late in the afternoon while you're at your day job, see if you can have someone come over with a hose and a mister, because drip lines just aren't going to do it right away for those little seedlings. They have this tiny little root ball that has not, you know, broken out of the ground yet. And so if you plant into dry soil, it's going to stay dry, but you need to get like the actual plant itself where the roots are very, very, you know, it's this tiny little plug, and it's just give your plugs the best chance that you have. I also want to share a tip that took me longer than I would like to admit to figure it out. So plugs come out so much easier when they are a little dry. So I know it feels weird, but you will break fewer roots and fewer little stems off if you leave them a little bit dry, and then you can get them out of those plug trays right away. But the thing is, then you have to water them really well right after planting, because those roots are teeny tiny and they're not going to establish otherwise. So we use a dibbler. I have a hand dibbler and I have a rolling dibbler that I got from Tillmore. We put it at like 6-inch spacing or 9-inch spacing or 12-inch spacing or whatever. And then I go and I have those preset spaced holes. And then I use the hand dibbler in one hand and the plugs in the other. And then another thing that works out really well, so like Lysianthus, I do this. I just lay the netting down on the ground. And then I use that as a guide for spacing. And then once the plants are all in, I shouldn't say that. First, I put down the drip lines because it's going to be impossible to add later. Put down the drip lines, put down the netting, really down on the ground or whatever, level on the ground. And then I just plant within them. And then I get my little posts and then bring the netting up. So you can find ways to, you know, do these things quicker, get it more efficient, get it more timely. But the biggest thing that I need you to keep in mind is sometimes we just have to push through and maybe do things that we don't want to do. So when we have this limited time, this limited schedule, even if it's only 20 minutes, you know, if you can plan on, you know, just having a crock pot meal or you know, something like that, that's super easy. Because guess what? You have this evening and like you have that window. And I mean, I have spent so much time. I mean, I have planted peonies in the snow, I have planted seedlings in the rain. I have planted in May when the sun comes up at 5:45 a.m. I remember times where it was 40 degrees. The ground was so cold, but it wasn't frozen, and that's what I had. And I was outside before work trying not to get like my hair dirty because I knew that, okay, I have an hour. I have an hour before my kids are going to get up, and then I got to go to my day job, but I have this 1 hour to get things done. I have, you know, and like I said, the peonies, the dahlias, whatever, like you're going to be doing stuff in unfavorable weather. You're going to be doing stuff. And like, I don't say this to brag now, like, well, flower farming is my full-time thing and you should just quit your job so you can do it. But I am admitting to my, like, it is so much easier now that I can just look at the schedule and look at the week and like, hey, I was going to do a bunch of emails and I was going to do this and I was going to do the podcast and I was going to do all these other things these days. But, you know, and I was going to plant tomorrow, but tomorrow looks cold and rainy, so I don't want to do it tomorrow. I'll do it today, or I'll do it, you know, it's too hot or whatever. But when you don't have that flexibility, and I've done it, I've been there. You know, you only have that one day to get things planted, or maybe you have volunteers lined up to come and help you. You're just out there and you have to take advantage of that time. I'm also next week, so today's Thursday, May 15th, as I'm recording this. So this episode comes out Monday. Next week, I have a local FFA chapter coming. There's 9 kids. I'm donating. Each kid gets a donation in their name, like to the FFA, and the advisor is going to keep track of them. And I'm going to donate $100 per kid because it's a 501c3. So yes, it's super expensive labor, but it's a good write-off. It's a good, you know, whatever. And they're going to come for 2 hours straight. And I'm like, if they work hard, if they don't work hard, they're not getting that. I mean, this is $50 an hour, but they each get a hori hori knife and some gloves. And if they can each weed 40 peony rows, because there's like thistles and these like perennial weeds, there's dandelions, there's like these weeds that they were here in April. I'm like, oh, they didn't die over the winter. They're alive. And they need to get taken care of, or they're going to choke out and kill my plants. And so this just needs to happen. But do you know how good it's going to feel when it's done? And I'm going to be out there too. And my husband's going to be out there too. Like, we will be working right alongside of them, but we can 11x our time. But the day that they're coming, hope it doesn't rain. Hope it doesn't, because I don't know how we're going to reschedule that. So it might be hot, it might be cold, it might be windy, it might be rainy, but we're just doing it during that time. And so sometimes you just have to do it. And then just other little tips that I've shared with like planting the beds. You know, you have to decide what you're comfortable with, whatever. I'm big on preen, a pre-emergent, if it's something that I'm not using landscape fabric for. We're probably only putting landscape fabric on like half of our rows now because so many things we're planting so much closer together. And I just, to me, it's like it's so much work with all that landscape fabric. And sometimes pulling the weeds is harder, I feel like. We have about an acre and a half of lawn that we mow, which is a lot, but it's around like all of our flower fields and beds. And we have a bagger for our mower. And so we bag the grass and then we use those clippings like immediately and we spread them really thin and we'll apply them 3 or 4 times. And then after we're done completely mulching everything, then we just start putting it in our compost pile. But you have to be careful or they will get hot and gross. But if you can use grass clippings within your flowers, that's really helpful. Just don't put a super thick layer on at once, because they will probably fry your plants. But you will thank yourselves so much when you don't have time to weed in mid-June. That is kind of just the behind the scenes look at just getting ready for the spring. Even when life is coming at you full speed, you don't need to do it all. You just need a system that works for your real life. So 2 beds or 20, a 15-minute window, a whole weekend, it's all valid. Use what you can. I would love to say it's a marathon, not a sprint. That is a thing that I can say now that flower farming is my full-time thing. But sometimes it is a sprint. It is increments of time that you have to do this. And I feel you and I hear you and I have been there and I'm still there sometimes. But just, you know, make hay while the sun shines. That's literally a saying that's been there forever. And so, you know, when you're able to do it, like when you have it, just do not procrastinate your planting, your prep work, any of that stuff. And then start keeping in mind things that you can do next fall to make it go easier. So I love seeing what you're all up to. Tag us, take a screenshot, share it in your stories. If you found this helpful, share it with someone else. Again, Flower Farmer Forum is the Instagram for the podcast. I love seeing what you're up to. And, you know, I just keep sharing things on there. And yeah, let me know if you have any other tips and I might just share it in an episode. So until next time, bloom and grow, my friends. You have got this. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com